the topic about causality. Causality. We believe in causality, but our way of believing in cause and effect, theory of cause and effect is not the same as people, order of people believing in. Before we discuss about the causality, we saw two viewpoints of life. One is just mechanical way of understanding of existence. Another is like determinism, to believe in some result. Nowadays, people apply those two view of life, but without any clear understanding of it. So sometimes they believe in determinism, sometimes they believe in liberalism, which is quite mechanical. So those who believe in mechanism, their way of life is very whimsical and very liberalistic in its order sense. Very naive understanding of so they want here they want vast freedom. They have no time to consider, to take to take others liberty. They just insist on their own liberty. This kind of attitude of life is based on mechanical way of mechanical understanding of life. According to mechanical understanding, the mechanical understanding of life, strictly speaking, as we saw, based on time, idea of time, discontinuity, and determinism is based on idea of continuity. Idea of time discontinuity. Many things exist. Things exist as one of many. Here, we have no idea of time. If, you know, if we have a continuity of time, we are not free. That time is continuous, means the change of things, change of form and color in certain way. So everything, if everything is changing in certain way, each existence has no freedom. each one of them should change into something else, whether they like it or not. impossible to remain obtaining some certain character always. That is impossible. But actually, things are changing. So we have no freedom. But when we believe in just mechanically, and in this way, we will find out that we have no freedom, even though we seek for freedom. It is impossible to have freedom. But usually we do not, our understanding does not reach so far. They just insist tentative freedom. So they don't mind what will happen to them later. They want to enjoy their life in each moment without any consideration of past and future. This is so-called misunderstanding of freedom. But in Buddhism, we do not ignore freedom. At least, at certain moment, we have freedom. But in next moment, we have to change our way little bit. And next time, we have to change more. In this way, everything, our life will go and go and go. So this is a Buddhist understanding of our life. On the contrary, those who believe in teleological understanding of life or determined, they sacrifice this present for the future. This is opposite, you know. We have to actually what we should have is happiness in this moment. To sacrifice this moment for the sake of future is upside down way. But this is also wrong. But actually, if you understand our life, our life should be in one hand, our life should be absolutely free from past and future, from everything. At the same time, we have to have some purpose, some goal to achieve. How this contradictory way of thinking go together is our philosophy. Originally, this contradiction is the nature, based on the nature of time, or idea of time. Now, time is, as I always say, time is continuous and discontinuous. Time is not always continuous. Time is discontinuous. You know, when you say evening, you know, time stops, you know. If it is going, you cannot say this is 6 o'clock or 8 o'clock. When you say 8 o'clock, it is 8 o'clock. It is not future 9 o'clock. It is 8 o'clock. So, when you say 8 o'clock, time stops tentatively. But actually, it is going on. We have to know that actually time is going on and on. But we have to say tentatively it is 9 o'clock or 7 o'clock. The time is, from this understanding, time is some point on the straight line from past to future. But actually, time is going and going on and on, so there is no point to point at. It is going on. The only way you have to follow the track or follow the sunset, that is the only way. We form the idea of time. So, when you have idea of time, it means you have idea of time of continuity and discontinuity. And time of discontinuity will result the mechanism. And idea of time, continuity will result teleological way of understanding of life. You have some purpose, some goal, and you have some way to attain the goal. It means it is actually, if it is true, it is actually a dynamic change of life. When we follow the dynamic change of every being, our goal will be attained. But if we ignore the dynamic change of universe, even though you have plan in your mind, it will not work. So if your plan is right, to have some goal in your life means to follow the dynamic change of the world. In this way, our life will go on and on and on endlessly. This is right understanding. Here, people have some misunderstanding. They think we human beings can attain some part of God. But for the human beings and for various, all the rest of the existence, there is no limit in achieving things. Things will go and on and on and on. We don't know when it will end, but it should go on and on and on. Here, you will find out Buddhist understanding of causality is both materialistic and spiritualistic. And it is not it is endless effort, succession of effort. So there is no end, or there is no beginning. There is no beginning and no end is our understanding of life. So, characteristic of Buddhist understanding of causality is one way it is mechanical, and we do not ignore freedom. On the other hand, it is teleological, and we do not believe in any perfection. But people believe in perfection. This is also a mistake. So we should be free from those three mistakes. I do have idea of perfection as a human being. And to just to be bound by causality, or just try to ignore the theory of cause and effect. These three points, at least, as far as I know, should be understood. Should be understood as a in understanding of causality in its true sense. My talk seems very dry and logical, but actually I do not mean to say some this kind of cold logical or philosophical idea. We have had very difficult time for 3 days. And we did not know how to fight this, how to sort, how to get out of pain. I think you did very well, and I think you, some of you actually get through the, all the problem in sitting. I think so. When we find their joy of life in pain and in difficulty, that is true joy, according to Buddha. We say there is no natural Buddha. Buddha is someone who attained enlightenment with human body. Who has get through the human life. And who found eternal joy in human life, in immortal life. There is no Buddha. We say that is why we say there is no natural Buddha. Buddha is someone who strives for Sikkha. Is Buddha. But he does not strive for Sikkha or to suffer from difficulty. There is difficulty. Well, one side of life. He was called Buddha because he has wisdom. His wisdom served. Contradiction of our life. We human beings by nature have good and bad, half and half. So anyway, if there is no discount, there is no happiness. If there is no happiness, there is no difficulty. Mechanically, you will think, materially, you will think something good. But this is just a materialistic idea. But good and bad is not just materialistic. You cannot find real, true pleasure in mechanical way of understanding of your life. Or by static logic. The Buddhism is more dialectical than static logic. Why we have suffering? Because we have happiness or joy on the other hand. Why we have happy is because we have difficulty at the same time. And you cannot join happiness to difficulty. It is completely different quality. It does not mean material quality, but as we feel when we feel as long as in conscious our conscious mind, it is impossible to join unhappiness and happiness. This is essentially different quality of consciousness. You may say, if you get a lot of money, you will be happy, but it is not true. If I try hard, I will attain enlightenment. That is not true. In its true sense, you know, enlightenment and ignorance is quite a different world. It is pair of opposites. Because it is opposite, it has barrier. If it is possible to join enlightenment and ignorance, you know, you may strive for attaining enlightenment by materialistic way, earning some money, or sitting many years. You may try, but I don't think it is possible, because it is two complete different qualities. Ignorance is ignorance, true and true. Enlightenment, true and true. How is it possible to compare enlightenment and ignorance? Materialistically, you can, psychologically, you can compare two. But there's no way to join the ignorance to enlightenment. According to Buddhism, suffering is variable, you know, because it is suffering through and through. Enlightenment is variable because enlightenment is enlightenment through and through. So when we say enlightenment, the rest of things is enlightenment. When we say, I am ignorant, everything, everyone of us is ignorant. It means that there is no need. Let me explain a little bit more about the contradiction. Past and future is two opposite ideas. You say past you think future is a succession of past time, but it is not so actually. When is the joint of the future and past? Present is, you may say, present is the joint of the future and past. But actually, there is no present. Present is going. What is past and what is present? You know, it is impossible to explain what is past and what is future, materialistic way. Past and future exist just in our mind. You say past, and you say future, without knowing exactly what it is. So, past means, when we say past, all the rest of time is past. When we say future, past is also future. So time goes from present to future, from future to past. And there may be many and many interpretation of the time idea. But actually, it means time does not exist, something which changes it. Time means changing of relationship or quality or color or size. Is time. When position of things changes, it is time. When color of something changes, it is time. But actually, that nothing besides actual changing of things. So, time, we say, past. So, in this sense, past is always negating future. The idea of future negates idea of past. When we say past, past only. When we say future, future only. Future negates past, idea of past. And when we say present, present negates past and future. So that someone is here means everyone is one is here. In each truth, not material. Materialistic understanding, that is not true. If I am here, there are many people. If I am talking here, many people are listening. But I say I am talking to you. It means I, the idea of I negates the audience. If you say I am listening to you, it is negation of speaker. Do you understand? Going, everything has, when one thing is different, the rest of things will be negated. It is counter relationship. From one to the other, you know, and from the other to one. Things, relationship is God. The relationship is just, you know, there is no other relationship. Actual relationship is one. So, this way or the other way is the only way we have. Only interpretation of the relationship. Do you understand? So, we are negating with each other. Because we are negating on one line, it is possible to attain one line. Do you understand? Here is man and woman. wonderful. But actually, which does exist is the unity of one and woman. The unity of man and woman exists. But if you separate man from woman, there's no more woman or man. Because there is man, there is woman. Because there is river, there is sheep. If there is no river, sheep is fire. It is not even water. So actually, the unity of opposite, two pairs of opposite, exist. Good and bad, pair of good and bad exist. But there is no good besides, except bad. There is no bad except besides good. We always exist in a pair of contradictions. We are a pair of contradictory existence. Perfect contradictory existence. This is, we are lucky that we are perfect contradictory existence. Why is there is no way to attain one absolute existence. We cannot overcome suffering. Because suffering and freedom is pair of opposite, complete pair of opposite, it is possible to attain absolute unpatterned will. So here things going as a pair of opposites and past, present, future. In past we
in changing tracks, a little bit was missed, but it's I think a repetition of what he said, something like present and future are a pair of opposites, or a pair of pair of opposites, and there's no need to change joy to suffering. Both exist. Anyway, something like that. But it's pretty much a repetition.
If we hear this through and through, and if you realize what is unhappy and what is happy through and through, you will realize this fact. That is why Dorian then said, if one side is light, in light, one side is bright, the other side is dark. When you say happiness, that's happiness only. When you say unhappiness, unhappiness is only. you have only unhappiness. And when you accept unhappiness or happiness through and through in this sense, in this way, you have absolute denunciation. So when you accept this kind of thing, with confidence, with big mind, when you give your discipline to work in its full function, then you have no that is not discipline anymore. The difficulty is a bus, like a bus, driving the sky. And you are mine. The sky knows what it is. Oh, bad is that is nothing but wrong. Something good is flying. Oh. People are enjoying that one. That is the kind of understanding we have. So to know things through and through is the point. Without criticizing what it is. If you like, you can criticize it. But that criticism has nothing to do with the big mind. To know things as it is means to let everything act as they want. Let it free is to be free from it. Because you want to bind it, you have discarded. It means to have thorough understanding of our life, and our practice should be based on the thorough understanding of our human life and thorough understanding of all the rest of existence. I think I have my brief talk about the teaching of causality. This is very deep problem, the teaching of causality. In Shobo Gento, in the practice of Sokshin Zen, what is mind itself is Buddha. What is mind, mind, and what is Buddha. And in conclusion, he says, mind is Buddha, and Buddha is Buddha, and each is Buddha. If Buddha is, mind is Buddha. Buddha itself is Buddha, just for character. Buddha, a mind itself is a mind itself is Buddha. And he said, mind is Buddha, and it is Buddha. And itself is Buddha. Buddha is Buddha. When we say Buddha, there is no need to say it. Mind itself. If when you say it, is it being or touching or suffering? Being is Buddha. Being something which exists as it is being. Something in the course of formed and formed. In the past it is formed, and in the future it is, in the present it is formed. Those being is Buddha. Actual being is Buddha. Reality is Buddha. And itself is Buddha. When you understand something through and through, that is itself. If you understand suffering through and through, that is itself. There is no other Buddha. All the rest of Buddha, including Shakyamuni Buddha, is included in that itself. If you pick up one thing, it negates all the rest of it. Negate is not, may not be a good word. You can say include. It is like a handle or something. If you take hold of something, you have all the machines. If you drive a car by handle, you can, it means you have, you own all the, all of your car. If you point at one point of the arc, you point up whole universe. Whatever I see, doesn't matter. So its sense is, because you compare one thing to the other in materialistic way, you are caught by idea of freedom or idea of restriction. But if you have this kind of understanding of reality, all the being, all the is, something what is. So Buddha is itself is Buddha, and mind is Buddha, and is Buddha, being is Buddha, and Buddha is Buddha. Buddha is of course Buddha, although we don't know what it is. And there is no need to know what it is, because we are Buddha. If so, what is the necessity for us to know who he is? Because we have some particular, we are caught by some particular view of life without knowing what does it mean in its true sense. We are caught by those view of life or teaching or philosophy, whatever religion, whatever it is. So, as a Reverend Katangi gave you the instruction about our practice, to do something is the only way. To do something, the only way to understand what it is, to be involved in what you are doing completely without thinking, then you will understand what it is. If you have this kind of thing, that is true. If you have pleasure of doing it, that is also true. And pleasure is not just pleasure. When you do completely observed in your activity, that is not just experience. It is more than experience. It is more than understanding. But forgetting this point, we seek for some superficial understanding of practice, whether you have attained enlightenment or not, whether this practice is right practice or not. Just do it anyway. Then you find what it is. It doesn't matter whether it is difficult or easy. When you wonder why, it means you are already caught by, superficial. You are trying to understand our practice in superficial way without any conviction, without believing in this ultimate truth. No one can deny what I am saying just now. I am just saying the truth as they are. I have no particular speaking for you. Buddha said, just how we are. And that's what we got. So when we completely understand how we live in this world, that is the enlightenment. That is the way to to have some meaning in our life, in its true sense. It is the actual way of not wasting of our time. We should not waste our time in unnecessary thinking, study. If you want to study something which is true and dear, don't study something very hard or very deep. The truth is always near at hand. In sitting, I think some of you must have found out something unusual, some unusual experience. It means you acquire freedom. Whether how you felt about it is relevant. Whether it was sad or whether it was, you know, ecstasy or joy, it is out of question. Whatever it is, something what you have found out or what experience says, means you are free from your order, framework of your thinking, way of life. Because we are, our life is limited in just in materialistic understanding of life. After Dogen left this kind of teaching, it is 900 years, but we are still caught by just materialistic understanding of life, and our logic is static logic. You are counting, you know, bankbook. That is static logic. You do not think, even in dialectic way. But before Hegel, Dogen Zenji treated his way of thinking was very much dialectical. If you practice Buddhism in its true sense, you will have this kind of freedom of our mind, because his mind was free from concrete, static logic, he could establish his own way of life. And he left immortal teaching. So, Dogen Zenji was great, not because of his deep, lofty philosophy, but because of his actual practice, real practice, transmitted from Buddha through many and many patriarchs. Our practice, although our practice is quite simple, but this is the result of myriads of people of hard practice and training. They risk their life for this way and establish this practice, this way of practice, and understanding. Negation after negation, criticism after criticism, we have established this kind of teaching. So far, our session was very successful under the guidance of Bishop. So I'm very much grateful for his calm and direct session. Tomorrow morning, he will give you the final address for this session. So I have to stop this evening. Thank you very much.